If you'll bear with me for just a moment, I'd like to tell a brief story. Most of you have probably heard this story, but for those of you who haven't, I'll go ahead and tell it. On the evening of June 15, 2013, a 16-year-old boy with some of his friends were caught on surveillance video stealing two cases of beer from a Walmart. About an hour after they had stolen the beer, the boy was driving his father's truck 70 miles an hour down a road with a speed limit of 40 miles an hour. There was an SUV that had stalled. The woman in the SUV parked to the side of the road. Two women who lived nearby came out to help her, and then another youth minister that was passing by stopped to help. The boy's truck, when he approached them, swerved off the road, hit the parked SUV, plowed into the minister's car, which in turn hit another oncoming vehicle. The truck then flipped over and hit a tree. The driver of the SUV, the two women, and the youth minister were all killed, while the boy and his seven teenage passengers, who none of were wearing seatbelts, survived, although one was left paralyzed. The two children of the minister survived, as well as the people in the oncoming car. 3 hours after the incident, the boy had a blood alcohol content of 0.24%, which is three times the legal limit in Texas. He also tested positive for illegal drugs and prescription medication. The boy was charged with four counts of intoxication manslaughter and two counts of intoxication assault. The prosecutor sought a maximum sentence of 20 years for this boy. G. Dick Miller, a psychologist hired as an expert by the defense, testified in court that the teen was a product of affluenza, a term he didn't make up, but he used two words to combine to mean a mental illness that was brought on by affluence. The psychologist said the boy was unable to link his actions with his consequences because his parents taught him that wealth buys privilege, and in this case, it did. Because of this defense, the boy only got 10 years probation and didn't see a day in jail for that offense. Although I'm not a psychologist, I don't think that affluence was the only problem at play in here. Among many things, including a lack of discipline, it was influence that this teen boy had. A teenage boy doesn't wake up one day and decide he's going to go off the deep end and do all these things and end up killing people, but rather it was influence. Influence from his parents that taught him that behavior like this was acceptable and that there was no consequences for his actions. His influence from his friends to have so-called fun and that nothing bad would happen. Influence is a very strong force and needs to be treated as such. I'd like to pause there and thank all of our visitors that are here with us. We appreciate you being here. And if you have the opportunity, stick around a little while after church so we can get to know you better. I'd also like to thank the elders for this opportunity to speak. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. He obviously didn't guard his heart against evil influences. We've all heard the phrase, what comes in goes out, or garbage in, garbage out. Whatever we take in, whether it's influences or other things, that's what we're going to dwell upon, and that's what we're going to end up doing. So as Christians, we need to guard our heart from these evil influences around us. Influence is defined as the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone. So influence can not only change our behavior, but also our character, which is a lot harder to fix in the end. So how do we guard our hearts practically from evil influences? Well, first of all, we need to know how we can be influenced. We need to know what things specifically can influence us. We need to let God influence us. And also, we need to influence others for their own good. With these four things, we can help to guard our hearts from evil influence. We can be on the lookout for those bad influences and be better prepared to deal with them. God knows influence is a very strong force, and he commanded an even harsher punishment for evil influences against him in the Old Testament. If you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy 13, beginning in verse 6. Deuteronomy 13, 6. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your own bosom, or your friend who is your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. You shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall you eye pity on him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Here we kind of see God's mind on evil influences. Obviously, this would be an extreme case of evil influence, to take them totally away from God. But it just shows you how serious it can be and how one person's influence can be so far-reaching. It's just one person in private saying, let's go serve these other gods. He says, no, you kill that person. Even if it's your own wife, you kill them, because influence is such a serious thing. If you don't and they end up influencing you, you're going to end up influencing others. And as was the case in Israel, the whole nation was influenced. First of all, we need to know how you can be influenced. First of all, I would say you can be directly influenced. And an example of that is peer pressure. We all know what peer pressure is. You've probably heard the phrase or said it yourself. If someone tells you to jump off a bridge, are you going to do it? That would be a case of someone trying to tell you that would be an example of direct influence. Just because someone says something like this, are we going to fall into that peer pressure? Influence can happen quickly. Situations can pop out of nowhere. You're headed back to your car after school, and someone asks you, hey, you want to smoke a cigarette with me? Or after work, coworkers are all leaving and say, hey, we're going to the bar tonight. You want to come with us? A lot of these quick influences can catch us off guard if we're not prepared for them. Quick influences are typically direct in nature. You also have indirect influences. These are more of your daily surroundings. So language you hear around you throughout the day, not necessarily someone you're talking directly with, but you might hear secondhand. What people wear out and about, whether you're influenced to lust after it or you're influenced to dress like them. These are things you typically can't avoid. These are indirect because it's not a case of someone actively trying to influence you or persuade you to do something. Indirect influence, although, can be just as effective for the devil. Also, you can be influenced slowly. And I know we've all talked about drifting before. It's a slow process, and this is a similar case. You can be influenced very slowly, start off in small increments to where it ends up to where you're influenced way more than you ever thought you would be. You might have heard the phrase, death by 1,000 needles. One needle may hurt a little, but it's not really going to harm you. 1,000 needles, though, that's really going to harm you and could even kill you. What people around you are saying or doing over time can start rubbing off on you without you even noticing. In the case of the teenage boy, he was probably influenced in all four of these ways. Directly and quickly, you know, some of his friends might have said, hey, let's go steal some beer. Indirectly influenced by things he heard that was fun things to do from other people. He probably was slowly influenced by his parents and friends until he got to this point where he did this thing. If you know the different ways you can be influenced, then you can look out for them and know what to look for so that you can stop it when it comes. So what specifically can influence us as Christians? The first thing I would say is people. People are most likely going to influence us and are probably the most powerful influence all of us will face. Whether it's a boss or a coworker, a spouse or even a parent, a friend or an acquaintance, we will be strongly influenced by people at some point in our lives. We've all heard the passage, 1 Corinthians 15:33, that says, bad company corrupts good morals. But as Christians, do we really take this passage into thought in our daily walk? In every case of a seemingly good person that was raised by good parents, and usually may even grew up a Christian, in every case that I see that they end up way off the path, into drugs, alcohol, you know, end up in jail or prison, I usually hear the phrase, they got involved with the wrong people. We all know someone like this. And unfortunately, that's all it can take is one person that they became friends with that influenced them that way. This is why it's so important to guard our hearts. The first example I can think of in the Bible, especially since we recently studied it, was David and Solomon. David, as we know, had many wives. It says so in 2 Samuel chapter 5:13. He had multiple wives and multiple concubines. And David ended up influencing Solomon in his love for women. 1 Kings 11:3 says that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I've often heard Paul, as he's preaching up here, say that what this generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. Well, this seems like the perfect example in my mind. David tolerated this behavior, and Solomon truly did embrace it. I don't know for a fact that Solomon had more wives than David, but I would guess he did. And unfortunately, Solomon was eventually influenced by his wives to turn away from God. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. 1 Kings 11:4 says, "For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." If Solomon was practicing the old law, he would have killed the wives. Well, he would have had one wife, and she tried to influence him. He would have killed her right then and there. But over time, he was eventually influenced to worship after other gods. This was probably a slow influence and an indirect influence by David. It could have been directly, but I highly doubt that. He learned from his father what to do. And as fathers, that's an example for us, that our children are watching, and everything we do influences them. Another example in the New Testament I thought of was Peter and Barnabas. If you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." I almost said Barabbas. Here, Peter and Barnabas were influenced by the other Jews to ignore the Gentiles whenever Jews were around. And in this case, these could have been other Christians that were the negative influence. And I think that's a very key point in our lives, that just because someone else is a Christian doesn't mean they can't influence us for evil things. I've seen Christians in my life that, you know, I've let my guard down around them because I thought I could trust them. But turns out they were just like the world, and they were trying to influence me for evil. So it's something that not only the young people should look out for, but also the older people as well. And because of BJ's lesson, I thought of Barabbas. In Matthew 27, verse 20, it says that the chief priests tried to persuade the people to release Barabbas. So I would hope that the people wouldn't have just said, "Crucify Jesus," but really, the chief priests had to go around and influence the people to say these things, and it worked. Another big influence that could be in our lives is money or possessions. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. I'm going to turn over there and read that real quick. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So it's not just people that can influence us, but the love of money can influence as well. And the first example I thought of was of Judas. Matthew 27, No, that's the wrong passage. No. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16 reads, "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests." And it's interesting to note here that he went and sought this. It's not that the chief priests came to him. He went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And of course, he's speaking of Jesus. And they tell him, "We will give you 30 pieces of silver." And it says in verse 16, "So from that time, he sought the opportunity to betray Jesus." Judas had such a love for money. He was seeking money no matter what. He was looking for it at the cost of anything, even the cost of his own teacher and friend, Jesus. And we all know how the story ends, that eventually he feels so guilty for what he's done that he ends up killing himself. Another thing that can influence us is what we take in. And what I mean by that is what we watch, what we listen to. So TV, music, there's a lot of trash in those things. There might be some good programs, but you can flip about through any radio station and just hear trash. And if you're constantly listening to this music and this language and the things they're talking about, it's going to enter your subconscious, and you're eventually either going to talk about those things or talk like them, like they're singing, or you're going to not play that sin as a big of deal as it really is because it seems so common. Also, I would say social media can be a very strong influence. Whether it's the influence us for to focus on our external self. We see all these pictures and photos of people that are edited, and it can lead us to focus on how we look externally only and end up becoming vain. Also, it can influence us to complain all the time, because I see that all over social media. Not only that, but bragging. On social media, I constantly see people bragging, and, you know, subtly at sometimes, but that's what they're doing, essentially. They're just bragging about what they have and what others don't. And when we see these things, we need to take note of it so that we're not influenced by them or unfriend the people who are doing these things. Also, for those younger boys, I know girls don't really do this, but playing video games. You know, whether it's online, people just trash talking all the time or using terrible language, or whether you're playing campaign modes and these videos have bad language and violence, we need to watch what we're doing. My third point is we need to be influenced by God so that we can guard our hearts. We need to let God, through his word, influence us. Romans 1:16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for all who believe." The key word there is the gospel is very powerful to do what? To influence us. All of us here were influenced, most of us here were influenced by the gospel at one point, and we're baptized because of that. So if we are reading and studying the gospel, we can be positively influenced by God's word. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 119, verse 105, where David says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Essentially, he's saying, your word is what influences me and what guides me. And that needs to be our guiding focus. Also, one thing we can help do to guard our hearts from evil influences is to actually be a good influence for other people. And you might think, well, that seems kind of confusing. Yeah, we can still be influenced negatively, but if we're focusing on influencing others for good, it's going to be harder for us to be influenced. And I have up here, sin no longer but. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 is where I'm going to begin reading. Ephesians 4, 28. "Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So here the specific example is stealing. If you had a life of stealing, what should you do? Quit stealing. You should work. And then you should give to others in need so they don't feel the need to steal any longer. So I draw the comparison here that if we're being negatively influenced, we need to move towards influencing others positively so that we're no longer tempted to be influenced, or in this case, in this example, be influenced to steal any longer. Matthew 5:13. I'm going to turn over there and read a passage. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not only is it a good idea for us to influence others to good, but it's also a command of God. And I think part of that reason we're commanded to is not only to gain other Christians, but to also build up ourselves in our Christian walk. Another example that I recently noticed that I hadn't before is in 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. If you would turn there with me, 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21, I'm going to begin reading in verse 15. 2 Samuel 21, verse 15. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants went with him, went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ishbi-Benob, who was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. At this point, David is older, and he's getting weak in battle, and this giant sees an opportunity that he can kill David. So in verse 18, now it happened afterward, verse 17, sorry, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out to battle with us no more. And in verse 18, now it happened afterward, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekani, the Hushanite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again, there was a war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeri, Orgium, Bethlehemite, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again there was a war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature, who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David, by the hand of his servants. I had never really noticed this before, but here we have multiple different men who were killing giants, just as David had. And if you recall the story of David and Goliath, Goliath came out and taunted Israel twice a day for 40 days. And then along comes David, a little shepherd boy, who kills Goliath. And what did this do for the nation? Well, it ended up encouraging his own men that they too, because God was on their side, could kill giants. I don't think without David had doing that, would these men be brave enough and bold enough to go and kill these giants themselves. They had been positively influenced by David and knew that God was on their side, like David did as well. In conclusion, influence can be a very strong force. Whether it's positive influence or negative influence. We need to be sure to guard our hearts with all diligence. In order to do that, we need to know how we can be influenced so we can look for specific things that can influence us negatively. We need to be influenced by God and His Word, and also we need to influence others positively so that there won't be room for those negative influences. Don't just go through the motions of life like this teenage boy and be tossed around by every influence that has ever happened. He was influenced on all sides and soaked every bit of it up. We need to be on the lookout for these negative influences so we don't end up in a bad situation where people say about us, they got involved with the wrong people. Hope this has been beneficial for all, but I don't want to leave here tonight without offering an invitation. either for those who aren't a Christian or for those who have been led astray by evil influences. So I'd like to end in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 26. For the king before whom I ask to speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a quarter. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Don't be like King Agrippa. If something's good trying to influence you, let it happen. If you feel the influence that you need to come forward and repent of sin, do it. Or if you feel the need to be influenced and to come forward and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we ask that you do so now as we stand and as we sing.